The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times Community column, Forbidden Siegel Talk.
It's time now for The Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you're not sure how to process Christianity when well-intentioned Christians vote from opposite sides of the aisle. For example, many Christians voted for Obama in 2008. Many did not, claiming Obama's policies were extremely anti-Christian. Well, if they were so anti-Christian, how come other Christians didn't get it? I got to tell you, my co-hosts and I are going to have a very interesting discussion today. Dana Wright, no stranger to the Bob Siegel Show, did vote for Obama. And I want to testify that Dana's a remarkably intelligent woman. So some of you are saying, how can an intelligent woman have voted for Obama? But I know others out there are going, well, Bob sounds intelligent, at least some of the time. How could an intelligent person not voted for Obama? So we're both people that are Christians. We both love the Lord. We're both informed. We made different decisions. Now, I should also say, Dana does regret that decision. She will not vote for him again, but she still has a lot of questions about how this guy got away with so much in 2008. Now, look, if you voted for Obama, we're not going to beat up on you, okay? Relax. It will be a friendly, respectful discussion. I hate to use the old cliche, but I'll use it. Some of my best friends voted for Obama. Anyway, I will be bringing Dana on in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, a few observations about last week's Republican convention. No, I won't talk about Clint Eastwood. There's enough talk about Clint Eastwood. I'm going to take a different angle, and I have a quote to read from you. This was spoken at the Republican convention. President Obama's version of America is a divided one, pitting us against each other based on our income level, gender, and social status. His policies have failed. Mr. President, I am here to tell you we are not buying what you are selling in 2012. Now, all right, that's the end of the quote. To your average, everyday mainstream media commentator, those words sound like typical white male Republican hot air. Well, such a guess only earns one out of three. True, this is an excerpt from a featured speaker at the GOP convention in Tampa, but the speaker was Mia Love, mayor of Saratoga Springs, Utah, candidate for the House of Representatives. Oh, yes, I should mention Mia Love is an African-American, and Mia Love is a woman. Double threat for the media powers that be. I mean, how could this have possibly happened? After all, Republicans are supposed to be the party that wages war against women. They're also a party made up of racists. So how did the mainstream moderate MSNBC cable news network deal with this assault upon their sensibilities? By ignoring the speech. Yeah, they just ignored the speech. Ignoring it, allowing us to hear the sparkling commentary of Rachel Maddow and her peers instead. And the strategy was most effective. After all, a commentator need not explain what doesn't seem to exist. MSNBC was also too distracted to notice African-American Representative Arthur Davis, who supported Obama in 2008 but has now left the Democratic Party and is running as a Republican. The same undivided attention was granted to Hispanic Tea Party Republican senatorial candidate Ted Cruz and Puerto Rican Governor Luis Fortuno's wife, Lucy Vela Fortuno. Now, to be fair, MSNBC did focus in on the eloquent and very moving speech of Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State under the Bush administration. Maybe that one slipped by the goalie and got aired by accident. But however it happened, an African-American woman portrayed herself as a success story rather than a victim over the airwaves of MSNBC. Well, swift, immediate explanations were in order, and who rises to the occasion better than Chris Matthews? Here I come to save the day. He suggested that Rice's speech, while good, was also a rejoinder to all the birtherism and narrowness that she's heard in her party. Really, Chris? Really? You mean the kind of narrowness that gave her a standing ovation from a room full of alleged racists? Or the narrowness that made Herman Cain the Tea Party favorite? Or maybe you mean the local state's white male clubs, which elected Republican governors such as Nikki Haley, an Indian woman, and Susana Martinez, a Hispanic woman, both of whom also spoke at the convention. And then again, those who want to suggest that the Republican Party is a tad bit more diverse than Democrats like to admit, lack the fine-tuned sensory equipment of Chris Matthews, who also figured out that a reference to growing food stamp recipients under President Obama was coded racism, since many of the people who use food stamps are African-American. Well, a lot of white people are on food stamps, too. In fact, more white people than African-Americans are on food stamps. Oh, well, yeah, sure, Bob, if you're going to bring up all that. Well, here's what Chris Matthews said. He said, you know, I think that people that don't realize the code, see, it's a code, the code about welfare and food stamps are really being dishonest. Welfare has been a classic tool to pry apart working-class whites from working-class blacks. It's brilliant because everybody sees it who wants to see it. Certainly blacks can't avoid seeing it because they see the prejudice involved. Whites can deny it because it isn't technically racial or sectarian, but everyone knows what's going on here. Everyone knows this. Well, actually, everyone does not know this. I don't know this. I don't know any of this. Matthews somehow knows. Just as he also knew enough to blow the lid off that derogatory phrase, Chicago politics. While discussing this term on Hardball, New York Magazine's John Hellerman said to Matthews, there's a lot of black people in Chicago, to which Matthews replied, well, I think that may have something to do with it. But MSNBC has no shortage of brilliant analysis these days. Even Matthews was overshadowed last week by the greatest detective of all, Lawrence O'Donnell. During the convention speech of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, we heard a joke about how Obama was working to earn a spot on the PGA Tour. Well, O'Donnell was not to be fooled, since Tiger Woods also plays golf, and since Tiger Woods is also an African-American, well, you do the math. Here's what he said. Well, we know exactly what he's trying to do here. He is trying to align to Tiger Woods and surely the lifestyle of Tiger Woods with Barack Obama. Wow! This is most impressive. The rest of us simpletons would never have viewed that small joke as anything more than a jab at Obama's frequent recreation activity. But that's why they pay O'Donnell the big bucks. He sees things the rest of us couldn't find in our wildest dreams. Ed Schultz was evidently blessed with a similar gift. On Thursday night, Mitt Romney said, when the world needs someone to do the really big stuff, you need an American. Since too many uneducated, one-dimensional thinkers will merely take that statement at face value as a general encouragement about American exceptionalism, good old Ed unpacked it for us. And he said, that was the line to the birthers tonight. That's what I think. That was the other line. You know, we've got to do big stuff. We've got big problems. We don't have an American. How else are we supposed to take that line? To imply that the guy who's leading the country right now is not an American. When the world needs to do really big stuff, we need an American. I think that was below the belt, and it was a dog whistle, whatever you want to call it. It was a bone throw to the birthers out there that you know what I'm really doing that, what I'm really doing that not far from you. Okay, fantastic deciphering. Nothing gets by these days. I would never have put that together in a million years, but then I don't have the benefit of Ed Schultz sitting next to me and explaining it. Now that we have a better idea of the kinds of coded words to look for, it's amazing they missed the one where Paul Ryan described college students looking at a fading picture of Obama on their bedroom wall. I mean, the word fading must be a reference to Obama's skin color. What else could Ryan have possibly meant? Do the MSNBC commentators know better? Are they deliberately trying to fit a square peg in a round hole for the sake of their holy mission as Obama's water boy? Perhaps. But it's more likely that they have been cheerleading Obama for so long, they've worked themselves into a state of denial. As a result, they share these words sincerely with full confidence that MSNBC's five viewers will immediately embrace their logical conclusions. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Co-hosting with me this week, the ever lovely, ever talented Dana Wright. Dana, welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'd like to say it's good to be here, but I'm a little nervous about this conversation.
Okay, now what could possibly be making you so nervous when you're sitting in this comfortable studio with your old pal Bob?
It's the topic.
The topic being Obama. Dun, dun, dun. No, it's okay. Look, Dana told me years ago that she voted for Obama, and I love you anyway, right?
Correct.
Okay, so everybody relax. If you voted for Obama, maybe I love you too. Then again, maybe I don't. We'll see. we'll get to it. All right, Dana, let's start. Tell us, two things I'm sure the audience is wondering. Why did you vote for Obama in the first place, and what changed your mind?
At the time, being 4 years ago, I really thought I was doing a good thing. I thought it was, I had listened to a variety of his speeches and different news things. I really, really thought that he was going to do something different in our country. Not understanding all of the depth of what that meant, on the surface, the hope and change sounded good to me. I wanted to have something different than what we had going on in the country. A part of what he said was that he would often weave God into it. So I made the leap that he was a Christian. And that always, to me, is a good thing. I would like to have a president that is a Christian and his belief system is founded on God. I've learned more in the past few years by watching, talking with much more knowledgeable people than you, like you, not than
oh,
you,
boy.
Much more, much more knowledgeable
it took
than
people more
me,
knowledgeable than you, Bob.
Than,
okay,
no, more knowledgeable than me, like you.
Like you,
is
okay.
How I
that
have
sounds
said that.
Much better.
So, and I do mean
better.
That sincerely. That okay. Isn't Bob. Really, is very knowledgeable, and through lots of conversations, me asking lots of questions, just being puzzled over time about these things, I was able to get many more answers. I still have a lot of questions. As someone who voted for Obama in the past, and it was difficult for me to even say that I voted for him after a while. I mean, I'm in a I'm in a place now where I can actually say
that. So what
would
you say to somebody who's out there who also voted for Obama? Maybe they're not as sure if they're going to do it this time, or maybe they are sure. Either way, what would you say to them?
Well, I'm hoping that by the end of this show, you will have shared some of the things that you shared with me that enlightened me and helped me to look at things in a different way. I think, also be aware that the news media definitely has agendas, and that there
like
are certain ones you need to...
Like we illustrated with the monologue earlier, that MSNBC agenda was just shameless.
See, and I didn't understand any of that. When you turn on the big, stations and, all the main networks, you think you're getting the news. I did not, wasn't totally aware that those were really biased programs and so on. So knowing where to go to, understanding that there are other sources and there are organizations that help with this. I know Tea Parties sometimes have people think that they're, I don't know what people think about them, but I know it's not positive.
And you've actually gone
to
some Tea Parties yourself.
Yes, I've gone to several of them where the Tea Parties I have gone to in different places over time have given me a lot more information. They've always been very informative. I've met many of the candidates running locally.
And were they run by nothing but white males, those Tea Parties?
Absolutely not.
Okay. You see, I know that sounds crazy, but that's the spin.
I know. And I love
that. That's the tagline out there.
The part that I've appreciated about the Tea Parties that I've attended, and again, it's been a variety of them in different places, is that their main goal is to protect the America we knew and our freedoms. It is not it's not a radical thing they want to do. It's just to get back to what we have.
People call them extremists, but they want are the viewpoints of our forefathers. So if you thought our forefathers were extremists, and look, our forefathers were extremists. It was pretty extreme because never before had a colony broken from her mother country. So they were extreme. Whether you're extreme or not extreme, extreme is a neutral word. It depends on what the issue is. Some things are worth being extreme about.
Right. So by the end of the show, I'm hoping people will know there's other places they can go for information and learn more. My other main hope about just even being vulnerable and talking about this in front of people is that that there are, I think, two kinds of people. There's people like me who I actually shy away from politics. I have never liked them. I've often felt very aggravated about how people have spoken to each other, how campaigns have gone, just the mudslinging.
I don't blame you. I talk about politics on this program because I think it's important to talk about them and I need to stay informed. For many years, even as a Christian minister who had a vital ministry all over the country as a traveling evangelist, I stayed away from politics too. So I totally understand. I came to realize that a lot of our freedoms as Christians and as Americans were in jeopardy. And I came to realize that part of the gospel is also speaking out when things aren't going right. And so that's how I came around. But I'm totally sympathetic with anybody. And, you're a hardworking person, Dana. At the end of your day, you probably just don't want to even turn on the news and get more depressed. I totally sympathize with that.
And that is true. And I really honestly just kind of thought I'll leave the politics to the politicians. They'll take care of it. They're arguing over whatever. And it doesn't have anything to do with me. What I've learned is that it has an awful lot to do with me. And by not paying attention, by not being involved, I've actually contributed to things happening in our country by just by not having a voice in it. So,
because if we have the right to vote, we're part of the political process, even if we don't like politics. I have a good friend in Arizona who's always telling me, I never follow politics. I hate politics. I don't follow politics. I say, well, that's fine. Let me ask you a question. Do you vote? He goes, oh, of course I vote. I said, well, why would you vote if you don't really know what you're voting on? He says, well, because it's a privilege, because I would be irresponsible if I didn't vote. Well, and I'm just speaking in general now. I'm not a big believer in get out the vote. And I'm talking to myself here, folks. I remember when I was in college, this is when Jimmy Carter was running. I did not follow that election at all. And even though I had a right to vote, I said, you know what? I haven't been following this. I don't really know what's going on. I should not vote. And I did not vote in that election. And I've never regretted that. So I would say to those of you who don't like politics, you might want to consider just not voting. That's fine. Or learning more about it first and then voting.
Yeah. And I would hope that we would have more people like me that don't particularly appreciate a politics actually learn more is in hopefully quick ways, because I know, like, I'm a very busy person. I really don't have the time to be chasing down political views and so on. So if they can find places that they can quickly get information, but to learn more so that we can influence positively the things that are going on and make sure we aren't just rolling over and letting things happen in our country. And then secondly, for people like you that have so much more knowledge because you've been studying it, following it, that maybe I can give some insight into how things can be shared positively so that there is someone who's listening and really taking in what's being said rather than shutting them down. And
well, Dana, I very much appreciate your courage and the humility. A lot of people would not be able to come on the air and just say this, that I voted, that I regret it. People don't like to admit when there's something they don't know, or in your case, you didn't know, but you become much more educated since then. I know that you still had some questions about things, though,
I do.
And I want to give you an opportunity to raise some of those.
Well, some of the questions that I even just started out with as these discussions started several years ago were things like, you know, how do you know which media source to trust? Which one do you listen to? Because I thought I was hearing the truth. I thought I was hearing the right thing. Another question would be, how do you talk about this topic with people and really share the ideas? Because it tends to be one of those topics that people get very emotional about and intense, and the conversations don't always end up positively. And so that would be another question. Another one for me, and this is especially important at this time as we're getting ready to go to the voting booths again, is how did so much information get covered up about, I mean, to me it felt like it was covered up over time as I've learned more about Obama, you know, how there was a lot of condemning information about him, but it wasn't really common knowledge. How did that happen? Another one would be, what evidence is there that Obama's leadership has had an influence in our country negatively or positively? How do we know that? And I think the biggest question I have right now as I'm getting ready to go to an election is, what is the future of this country if Obama is elected? You know, those are the things we need to know, especially those of us that aren't politically savvy.
Okay, those are all great questions, but that's a lot of them. We need to unpack these questions one at a time here. Okay.
Certainly. Do you have a preference on one you'd like to start with?
Nope. Any one of them would be a good one.
Okay. I think, well, the main one for me, because over time, what I've been overwhelmed with is there are so many things that have come out about Obama, or at least that I have learned about him over time, that I did not know or see any information about when we were electing him. So what evidence is
okay,
there about Obama?
Let me defend the premise first. Let me share with you what we knew about Obama before he was even elected.
Okay.
Later on, we'll talk about what we know about him since he's been elected, and then why was it covered up. And by the way, folks, these will not be conspiracy theories. This is based on what Obama says in his own
speeches. And I think that's
important.
Right.
This is based on his voting record. I hate conspiracy theories. Somebody that's into conspiracy theories, they never have any evidence because it's a big conspiracy. I have evidence for you. We'll get to it when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I always love doing that. I love doing that when I get to be a sit-in host for Bob. And we are talking about politics and how we have evidence about what's gone on in our country in the last few years. And Bob's going to share with us some specific things. And I think what's really important before he does say anything is that these aren't just ideas that are made up. And I've been so skeptical over the years when I've heard things. I've just thought, oh, please, for real? You know, I just really didn't believe a lot of it. But after time with Bob showing me, quoting me specifics, and I mean, these aren't things that are made up. They've actually happened and been said. I started seeing patterns. So, Bob, evidence.
Okay, first of all, let me give an important disclaimer, because one thing that Dana said was very interesting. When I asked Dana what her reasons were for voting for Obama, one of them was that he was a Christian. Now, this may surprise some of you, since this is a Christian show. I don't care if a politician is a Christian or not. Let me say that again. I don't care if a politician is a Christian or not. Half the people who claim to be Christians have never read the Bible and don't understand Christianity anyway. One of the politicians who actually understood what it meant to be born again and seemed to really understand the Bible more than any other recent politician I'd heard was Jimmy Carter. And he was the worst president we ever had. Until Obama came along. I just had to say that. It's true, but I had to say it. Okay, so for example, now, having said that, when Obama claims to be a Christian, the God that Obama believes in is not the God of the Bible. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not looking into the man's heart. I don't know his heart. On Judgment Day, whether somebody's a Christian or not a Christian, God's going to judge their hearts and judge them according to what they knew. But we know a lot about the church where Obama went. Obama made some statements about how he didn't believe Jesus would have any problem with gay marriage. And he said some things which, whatever your view is of gay marriage, they just weren't true biblically. So he was showing a real ignorance of Scripture. But there are issues of far more importance to Christians. And as you know, the Democratic Party, part of their platform is pro-choice. Not all of them. I'm a Democrat, too. I don't vote Democrat anymore, but I'm still a registered Democrat. I'm not pro-choice. I'm pro-life. But we can argue abortion till we're blue in the face. You're not going to find anybody, or hardly anybody, in this country that believes in infanticide.
What is that?
Infanticide means it's already a born baby. We're not talking about something in the womb. They were committing infanticides in Illinois because there were late-term abortions that were getting botched up, and the babies were born. And so they're real live babies now, and the hospital was feeding and taking care of them. And then somebody came up with the bright idea that, well, if it was the mother's intention to abort the baby, then maybe we should kill the baby after it's born. Well, did they actually kill the baby? No, but they wouldn't take care of the baby. They wouldn't feed them. They starved them. Folks, this is not abortion. This is infanticide. And so somebody came up with a law called the Illinois Infant Protection Act. Obama voted against it. Now, folks, there were about 8 or 9 things on Obama when he was running the first time. Any one of them would have ended the campaign for anybody else. But because of his charisma, because George Bush had been so unpopular, because of the melting of the economy, because a lot of people, and I'm just basing this on what people said, a lot of people said to me, I wanted us to have our first black president because that will be historical. Hey, there are a lot of African Americans that I think would have made wonderful presidents and would make wonderful presidents today. Obama is not one of them. And there were some people that were just afraid that if they voted against an African American, they'd be accused of racism, which goes on all the time today. If somebody has a problem with Obama, it's just assumed, well, you're a racist. It couldn't possibly be for other reasons. So there were a lot of things, but I wanted to start with infanticide, and I'll tell you why. A man that would vote for infanticide would do anything. I mean, folks, seriously. And again, I know Obama comes across as a nice guy. I know you were sincere. A lot of you probably didn't even know about this. I remember a lady.
I did not know about it.
Well, a lady called my radio show days before the election. She says, I'm a Christian. I'm voting for Obama. I said, did you hear of the Illinois Infant Protection? She had never heard of it. Okay, I understand that. I get that. So maybe you didn't know. Okay, if you didn't know, God understands. But now you know. Now you can go check that. You can go online. You can go to places like factcheck.org. This answers part of your other question, Dana. There are always ways. The internet, I mean, there's a lot of disinformation over the internet, but we can always go to more than one source. If we're hearing contradictory things, what you do is you ask yourself which side is quoting its source. And then we have to check the source. We have to do our homework. I hated homework when I was a little kid. I hated homework. So I understand if we don't want to do our homework, but doing our homework is the only way to be informed. And if this vote on infanticide had been the only thing in Obama's record, I would think that would be enough for anybody. Anybody that calls himself a Christian, I would think that would be enough for an atheist, for any moral person. There were other things. He had a terrorist connection, Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers was part of a group called the Weathermen. They actually tried to blow up the, I believe it was the Capitol building in the 60s. Might have been the early 70s. But it was during the 60s anti-Vietnam Revolution, which is late 60s, early 70s, that era. He was caught, and because of a police foul-up, it was one of those things where technically they couldn't prosecute him. But this is not an idea. This is not a conspiracy. This is not an accusation. This is not an innuendo. Bill Ayers has given many speeches about this. He's been interviewed by many reporters about this. He unapologetically, unashamedly admits that he was involved in that terrorist activity. He demonstrates no remorse. When Obama first went into politics, he opened it up in Bill Ayers' living room. Now, this did come out. Obama tried to act like he barely knew the man. He says, well, we served on a board together once. Okay, Obama, you kicked off your campaign in his living room. This was a terrorist connection, and this came out after 9/11. They interviewed Bill Ayers after 9/11. Now, you've asked Dana, did the news know about this? There were people like Sean Hannity on Fox News that were talking about it. The other networks were ignoring it. Finally, ABC News and a few others couldn't ignore it any longer because Fox News was making them look like fools. So they talked about it, but then they'd get off it really soon. And one of the things you always hear during this time, you listen to the spokespeople, the campaign spokesman. Well, Larry, we don't feel that the American people want to hear about these connections. The American people just want to hear about the issues. That's what we were always hearing. Now, what are we hearing about Mitt Romney now? Well, we know about the issues, but we don't know the man. See, that's all we're hearing. We need to get to know the real Mitt Romney. He's so stoic. He's hard to get to know him. Okay, why weren't we just as zealous to get to know Obama? There is another terrorist connection with Rashid Khalidi, a PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, terrorist connection. They were good friends. They celebrated a birthday party together. Obama said he learned a lot from him, and all of his policies in Israel since then have been showing that. You need to understand the PLO in its charter does not recognize Israel's right to exist. It's not about a two-state solution. They do not recognize Israel's right to exist. They want to see the Jews destroyed and annihilated. Now, if Obama knows this, and he's acting like he doesn't know it. I know people don't like to hear this word, but I think everybody would agree that would be evil. But I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he doesn't know it. Maybe he's naive. Well, if he's naive, then that shows dismal foreign policy. So either he's too naive to be a good president, or he's too evil to be a good president. But he's friends with two terrorists. We'll be back. Dana Wright and Bob Siegel on The Bob Siegel Show. Your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. Welcome back to our program. This is Bob Siegel and Dana Wright. Dana was asking me some of the things we knew about Obama before he was elected. Another thing we knew about him was that he was a big fan of communist, openly unapologetic communist professor Derrick Bell, and actually gave a speech supporting him. And that we've seen communist, socialist tendencies even in his campaign. When he talked to Joe the plumber, who said he didn't want to get taxed more, Obama said, I believe we should spread the wealth around. That is the philosophy of socialism. And everybody says, well, that's unfair to call the man a socialist. There is nothing that socialists are doing in Europe today that Obama doesn't agree with. And there's nothing about the policies he's trying to enact that are not socialistic. That the idea of socializing our health care, that's all about redistributing wealth. They don't want everybody to have good health care. They know everybody cannot have good health care if the government gets involved. The problem is some people have good health care, some people have no health care, so they want everybody to have the same lousy care. Also, Obama claimed he was going to be a uniter and not a divider, but he said one of the most divisive things very early in his campaign. He says, you watch, they're going to warn you that I'm black. They're going to say, oh, don't be careful of him, he's black. Now, what's interesting is nobody said that. I mean, oh, yeah, some kook nut somewhere. No Republican candidate, no major conservative talk radio figure, no conservative columnist. Nobody was complaining that the man was black. These are the people that got behind Clarence Thomas, don't forget. These were the people that had made Condoleezza Rice Secretary of State, Colin Powell, Secretary of State. Nobody brought up the first person that brought up his race was Obama. So this idea that he was going to be a uniter and not a divider, just not true. And then finally, well, there are other things. I shouldn't say finally, but for the sake of time, I'll do one more here. He had a racist pastor for 20 years, a pastor who hates America, a pastor who hates Israel, a pastor who taught a hatred of white people. And he did something very interesting, and I talked about this a few weeks ago on my show. Bill O'Reilly had him on while he was a candidate, and he said, did your pastor ever teach a hatred of white people? And Obama said no, and then he was very careful and very crafty and very clever. And he says, well, he taught a hatred of racists. Okay, but what you need to understand is Jeremiah Wright believes in liberal black liberation theology, and it teaches that all white people are racists and only white people are racists. So if he was teaching to hate racists and only white people could be racist and a person of color could never be racist, he was teaching to hate white people. And why did Obama say it carefully like that? Because he knows that in this age of cell phones and people having their own built-in cameras on their phones, he could say he was never there when Wright made some of these inflammatory speeches. Someday it may come up and we may see him there cheering. And then he's got to say, well, I never actually said that. I never actually, you know, I did admit that he taught us to hate white people, but I used the word racist. But what he's not telling you is all white people are racist. So these were the things, and then we could say, well, was Reverend Wright some nut? Did Obama not share those beliefs? Well, if he didn't share them, then why did he attend for 20 years? He spoke of this man as his mentor. This man baptized his children. This was his mentor. This was his introduction into Christianity. This was the Christianity he knew for 20 years. Okay, Dane, I want to give you a chance to respond to some of these things.
Well, and that's a really incredible list. And like you say, any one of those things, the problem is for me, I didn't hear about a lot of those before the election. Then when I did hear about them, I had a mixed reaction. Sometimes I didn't believe it. I thought it was just inflammatory. Oh yeah, right. That's not possible. How could anybody do that?
Well, it sounds absolutely outrageous. So of course, you said this is America.
Right.
So of course it sounded like a conspiracy theory. Of course you didn't believe it. But they're all documented.
Well, and
every one of them.
That's where I'm hoping that that people will know where to go to get information. And I am grateful for the people that are your listeners and follow you, people that read your articles on Washington Times communities and different places so that they can learn, because I've learned a tremendous amount. One of the things for me that's critical is I look at our country now compared to where we were 4 years ago, and I almost don't recognize us anymore. There are many more discussions now about racism, classes, just again, the suffering that so many people are going through with the economy, just people's lives have changed drastically in the last 4 years, just from not even being able to get a job to losing homes that they, I mean, nobody ever thought we would be in a place where masses would be losing their homes, the things that they were planning on for retirement. It's just our whole country has shifted. When I look back at that, that's where I feel like I am obligated to step in, learn more, and have conversations. And one of the things, too, that I really remember when it was 1973, I went online to look this up because it was such a profound thing for me. And I hope a lot of the listeners will recall this. In 73, there was a Canadian journalist, Gordon Sinclair, who did a four-minute commentary about the United States. And he went on and on about the generosity of America, what we would come in to people's aids, we would protect the less fortunate. We were always the first one on the lines when there was a disaster around the world. And yet whenever something happened to the United States, nobody came to our aid. And it was a very moving commentary. It since has been put to slides and music, and it's very powerful. It's on YouTube. You can find as different versions of it. You can find it easily. And when I remember in 73 thinking, I am so fortunate to be in this country and be an American. I was so proud. Patriotism was so much easier then. It was clearer. I miss that. I miss being able to just feel so proud of our country and what we do around the world. I feel like we've lost that in the last few years. And so that's why, and I know things have shifted. It isn't just Obama. I know there were other things that led up to it. But Obama has certainly, in my opinion, accelerated where we are. And so I feel like it really is something we need to examine. We did go and see the Obama's America 2016. I would highly recommend that to everyone. Whether you're a person who knows a lot or doesn't know a lot, it's a very clear, just a rollout of information. And D'Souza was, I was impressed by his very clear, careful research and documentation of things that are going on. And that he wasn't evil about it. He wasn't trying to degrade Obama. He was just rolling out what has gone on. And I found especially the interview with Obama's brother quite intriguing. And so I would just recommend to everybody, go see it, bounce it off of what you know, what you've researched, and see what you think about it.
Okay, well, let me, I saw that movie too, by the way, and it is excellent. Now, I talked about some of the things we knew about Obama before he came into office. Let me tell you about some things that have happened since then. And then I know you have more questions, Dana. He started appointing all these czars. Now, we've had other presidents appoint czars, so that's not the issue. But Van Jones was a communist czar until Glenn Beck made a big deal out of that on his program, and his communist speeches showed up on the internet. And again, this isn't rumor. This isn't innuendo. Van Jones, a proud communist. So did Obama not vet him properly? Oh, you bet they vetted him. Of course they did. If they didn't vet him properly, that doesn't speak highly for him at all. But he knew. Anita Dunn was another one of his czars. She gave a speech at St. Andrew's Episcopal School, said Mao Tse-tung, the communist leader of China, was one of her heroes. Obama has ignored the other branches of Congress. He's ignored the Supreme Court's ruling on police checking records. He's ignored the immigration law by refusing to deport the kids of a certain age. He's ignoring the part of the law that says people must find a job to be on welfare. Laws that were coming from Congress and then sustained by the Supreme Court, and he's just ignoring them. And this is before he's even reelected. Can you imagine what he'll do if he gets reelected? I need to say one more thing about how he's lied about health care. He told three lies about, well, three that I know of, three lies about health care. I'll tell you about them when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's weekly column for Washington Times Communities. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net, S-I-E-G-E-L, bobsiegel.net. Here, you can download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel and Dana Wright. Dana, when they were trying to sell the health care, Obama said some things that were just not true. He said, first of all, if you like the doctor you have and the health care you have, you're going to be able to keep it. Impossible. Impossible, because they're also passing laws that say small businesses of a certain size must provide free health care to people or pay a penalty. Well, a lot of those business owners are going to find it cheaper to pay the penalty. And so what's going to happen? Less people are going to be on health care, which means premiums are going up. My premiums have gone up by over $100.
Ours have too.
And so he also said that illegal immigrants would not be covered by health care. It's a downright lie. He's already made provisions for that to happen. He said that abortion would not be covered by the health care. They found it in the bill. Now, that one they caught in time and they took it out, but they were trying to slip that. And he said there would be no death panels. Okay. Is there a place in the bill where they use the phrase death panel? No. But you see, people are not going to be getting as good of a care, and the government is now going to be deciding who can get what procedure. And if you're a certain age, they were going to have some people actually counsel some of the elder people that, hey, you know, we've got to share the wealth. It gets back to the socialism and share the wealth. We could do a whole show on health care. But as for how you were asking, how did our economy get into the position that it was in? First of all, you need to realize in the last 2 years of George Bush, the Democrats were running the House and the Senate. In the first 2 years of Barack Obama, the Democrats were running the House and the Senate. They passed everything he wanted to pass. Republicans came into power, and people are saying, oh, the Republicans won't work with them. It's the, he always calls them the do-nothing Republican Congress. The Tea Party Republicans were put in power because they promised they would stop what Obama was doing because people didn't believe it was right. Now, it always sounds good to say two sides should work together, but that assumes that both sides are partly right and partly wrong. Sometimes somebody's in the wrong. Sometimes somebody's in the right. The House of Representatives has passed jobs bill after jobs bill after jobs bill. Harry Reid has said to them they're dead on arrival when they get into the Senate, which is controlled by the Democrats still. Obama has said they're dead on arrival if they ever get to my desk. But they're trying to do what they were put in power to do. We got into this mess because of some of our liberal congressmen, like Barney Frank, like Chris Dodd, were going to banks and saying, you've got to give out loans even to people who can't afford to pay them out, or we're going to accuse you of being racist. So the banks started giving out a lot of subprime loans. Now, yes, the speculators on Wall Street made that worse, so there's plenty of blame to go around. But Obama acts like it was all the Republicans' fault that started this, and his stimulus package and his health care have made things worse. I know so many people that had successful small businesses that are just plain broke now. And it's because Obama and his crack staff of economists are trying to fix our economy for us.
That's a lot.
It is a lot
to take in.
We could do another show on this. We could come back next week and do a part two. What do you think, folks?
I don't know.
This
has been hard enough doing it tonight.
I see Nick saying yes. I don't think we could squeeze this all in.
Nick, you're supposed to be on my side, buddy.
What do you fight, folks? Should Dana come back and do a part two next week?
I can't hear anybody.
She's so brave. We don't want to discourage an admirable impulse. She should come back and do a part two.
Well, in case we don't.
Part two.
In case we don't, finish up with some things that would be really helpful, like succinctly tell us, where can we go to get information? How do I know what to look at?
Okay, for starters, go to a place that shows both sides.
And that would be?
Well, it wouldn't be MSNBC. I hope you heard my opening monologue. If you didn't, go to my website or go to my Washington Times community this week where I wrote a column on it. It's a joke. I know you hear a lot about Fox News. Fox News is one of the few news networks in television that shows both sides. Does Fox News tilt to the right? Yes, they tilt to the right. The other news networks tilt 180 degrees to the left. ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS. Go to a place where you're at least going to hear both sides. Also, if you're hearing then two compelling sides, then do some fact checking. Who's quoting their sources? Who's merely repeating a mantra? Anybody that believes in gay marriage is hateful. Oh, really? What are you basing that on? Does it say that in the Bible? Did you hear Christians actually say, I hate? You got to ask, where are you getting this information? A woman's body is her own choice. Okay, but are there scientific studies that show that that's also a viable life inside of her? We can ask those kinds of questions. We have a great tool at our disposal with the internet, with things like factcheck.org. You can do a Google search and you'll immediately see articles showing one side and articles showing the other side. You can always tell by their titles. Those mean and nasty Republicans are at it again. Okay, if that's the title, you kind of know what side that guy's going to be on. But then you want to go and for every liberal magazine, look at a conservative one. Conservative magazines and newspapers would be things like the Wall Street Journal, the American Spectator. There's some others as they come to my mind.
And then make sure they're citing sources and you can verify those sources.
Yes.
And it matches the information they're sharing.
Absolutely. Fox News also, what they call the new media, let me, some terms. Old media is considered the major newspapers, New York Times, LA Times, the three major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and to a lesser degree, PBS. That's considered the old media because we always had the news filtered through them. New media is considered the internet, Fox News, and talk radio. There are some liberal talk show hosts. Most of them are conservative. That doesn't mean everything they say is true, but it means that's where you can go if you want to at least hear the other side. I'm not telling you to listen to the new media and ignore the old media. I hope you listen to both.
The balance, right.
It says in the book of Proverbs, the first man to present his case seems right until a second comes forward and questions him.
Okay, and I want to also remind people about the tea parties because I did actually find them very helpful. Listening to candidates, personally meeting them, that was really a helpful thing too. Don't forget about the Obama's America 2016.
I went to my high school reunion about a month ago. A dear friend of mine from the past, she started making these wisecracks about the tea party. And I said, $100 says you have never been to a tea party. She says, no, I haven't. I said, well, don't you think you should visit one first before you talk about
it? I think most people find them really refreshing.
And there are people that are going to go, I don't want to go see this movie about Obama. Oh, okay, you know what? You know what? When Michael Moore came out with a movie about George Bush, Fahrenheit 2001, I didn't want to go see that. I knew I'd hate it. I didn't like Michael Moore. But I said, you know, if I'm going to talk about the movie and I'm going to criticize the movie, I'm going to see the movie. And I got through. I got some candy and a big box of popcorn. I sat in the back of the theater. I said, we can get through this. But folks, if you don't want to see the movie, don't say it. But if you're not going to see it, don't talk about it. Because with all due respect, you may not know what you're talking about.
Well, I hate to admit this, but I really don't think we have time for this last part. Because the last part that I really think is important is talking and sharing about what's the best way to talk to somebody like me.
So we need to do, what I hear you say is we need to do a part two next week.
A little bit, not a part two, a little bit of another show, perhaps next week.
Okay, we can entice Dana back to a segment.
How to talk to me.
I'm going
to
say this in a rhyming poetic way. A segment or two of a possible part two. How's that?
Okay, there we go. Because I don't want to rush this part.
It's important stuff.
It's really important for, I want
And I was just rushing down this list of all these problems with Obama. One of these could be an entire radio show.
Well, and give people time to kind of look those over. But I do think it's important for people to understand how somebody like me, who's not typically politically minded or savvy, how do things come off to me? What are my filters? When you say the word evil to me, I have a very strong reaction to that. But I want to just help people understand
and by the
how
way,
to have positive
I hope you heard the part where I said I didn't know Obama's heart. I don't know if Obama's evil. I don't know his heart. Has he done some evil things? The Illinois Infant Protection Act, voting against it, that was evil. The other things, I think he sincerely believes in socialism. I think he believes it really would be better for our country. So I'm not challenging his intentions, but when he said he wanted to fundamentally transform America, that was the change. And see, again, folks, these aren't conspiracies. I listened carefully to what Obama was saying. What he is doing, he told us he was going to do.
See, and I thought I was listening carefully, too. So next week, we can talk about how do you talk to somebody like me that thinks they're understanding, but we want to gentle them into more understanding.
And this will help. Let me use myself as an example. There's many people that have written on this, but I have a whole series of articles on my website and a backlog on the Washington Times online, and they're documented, they're quoted. Most of them are based on things Obama actually said. I know a lot of you know, we talk about religion and politics. I've had friends say, Bob, I love your Bible studies. They're meaty and they're thorough and you do research, but can you get off the politics? Well, let me challenge you with something if you're a fan of this show, but you like the religion part more than the political part. Don't you think I would use the same skill set when I'm talking about politics? Don't you think I would research them just as thoroughly? Maybe I'm just talking about something you don't like, so it's easier to assume they're not as well researched, but they are. they are. And there's nothing magic about me. You can do the research too. We'll see you next week with Dana Wright and part two of Obama.
The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel. 1170 KCBQ.